Could we turn, please, to Matthew 14, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, and then we're turning to John 6. Thank your minister for the invitation along today, and we pray God will bless us as we think upon his precious word. We want to think upon a very familiar story recorded in God's word, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, as it's known. But first of all, in Matthew chapter 14, we'll go down to verse 14, Matthew 14, verse 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." Could you turn, please, to John's Gospel, chapter 6? This event, of course, is recorded in all four Gospels, but in John and chapter 6, with that reading from Matthew in mind, we read a little bit more information. And in verse 5 of John 6, John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And then down the chapter, what happened, verse 33, but this is the next day the crowd come back, and the Savior preaches, and at the end of his sermon, the vast, vast majority go away. They leave. Oh, they didn't mind the free bread, but they didn't want Christ. For time, let's read verse 33. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Let us just look to the Lord briefly in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for these readings of thy precious word. And now as we come to consider lessons from it, we pray for the help of God the Holy Spirit, that thou would write thy word upon his heart, that each one of us may see the Lord Jesus Christ as he who is the bread of life. Lord, we pray that each one of us may know Christ and then be involved in the work of God, for it's in Christ's name we'd ask it. Amen. Thinking about this passage, I was trying to think over in my mind different names for missionaries. We call them missionaries. We sometimes call them servants, messengers, heralds of the cross, fishers of men, laborers in the harvest field. Why not bread servers? They're bread servers. Because you know from this story that the 12 disciples were given baskets full of bread, miraculously, of course, multiplied from the 5 small loaves. And it was the disciples' job to go among the rows of people and to offer them literal bread. Remember, God chose 12 men to be his 12 disciples. There were others, of course, followed him. I'm doing a series at the minute on each one of these 12 disciples. My own church, always remember this. God did not choose those 12 men because of their great ability. God delights to choose ordinary individuals like you. Ordinary individuals through whom he does extraordinary things so that the glory belongs to God. In other words, what I'm saying is missionaries are not special people in the sense of their natural abilities. God does not call the equipped, but he equips those whom he calls.
So if you're here this morning and you're saying, well, I'm saved, but really there's nothing I can do in God's work, I'm not very important. You know, these missionaries come and these ministers who stand up and different people in the church, and oh, they're so gifted, and I don't have any talents. Well, if you really mean that sincerely, that's wonderful. I'm so glad that you say that to yourself, because you're the type of person God delights to call. God delights to call ordinary people with our failings, with our flaws, with our problems. And if you study the 12 disciples, you'll soon learn that. You'll soon learn that. And the Lord called the 12 unto himself, and it says he called them to be disciples, that they would be with him. And then you'll read in some of the Gospels, the names of the 12 apostles are. You say, well, why are they called disciples and then apostles? You see, a disciple means a follower, a learner. He called these men to be with him to learn important lessons so that they would be his apostles. And that word means to send out. To send out. A king would send a representative, an ambassador or whatever. They're an apostle. To go on a mission. Missionary. God called these disciples to him that they would learn from him, learn important lessons. And of course, the main lesson was this, their total inability, but Christ's ability. But Christ's ability. And that's what they're going to learn in the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. They're going to learn that they can do nothing. For the Savior commanded them, and think back to Matthew, what happened? The Lord saw the multitude, 5,000 men plus others. And it says he was moved with compassion on them. Now, it wasn't that they were starving in the sense of famines that we sadly hear about. They just had gone all day without food. So, you know, we're not talking about extreme hunger here. And yet the Lord still had compassion on them. Isn't the Lord tender and loving? You know, he cares for every need in your life. Every need. And did you notice when I read in Matthew, the disciples come, you know what they say? Master, and I'm paraphrasing here, it's getting late in the day, send them away that they'll go and buy their own food. Send them away. Isn't that sometimes what we say as Christians? You see the need around us. Lord, it's not my problem. It's not my problem. Send them away. And then the Lord turned to them and said to the men, the disciples, listen, you give them to eat. You do it. But we have nothing. We have nothing. What can we give them? And in John 6, if your Bible's open there, you'll see that he asked Philip then in verse 5. He saith unto Philip, John 6, 5, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him. For he himself knew what he would do. He wasn't asking Philip for advice. Of course not. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. In other words, for all this crowd, just to get a little bite, it would take 2/3 of an average man's wage. That's what that amounts to. Thousands of pounds for a little bite. You see, Philip, he was too taken up with mathematics. He was too taken up with finances rather than faith. He was looking at the impossibility. What he's really saying, it's just impossible. But he forgot that with God all things are possible. So you remember Andrew brings the little boy with the loaves and the fishes. Christ multiplies them. The people go round handing them out. The disciples go round handed out. The next day the people come, thousands of them. The Lord preaches to them, and I can't go through the verses for time, but you will find the Lord actually rebuked them. Do you know what he said to them the next day? You're only following me to see miracles. You're not sincere. You're only looking for free bread. But he's saying, look, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. And then he says this great text in verse 35, where he said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. There's the word hunger. There's the people in their need. The people in the need. Now, spiritually, many of them didn't even realize they had a need. But spiritually, they're hungry. They're hungry. The people had a need. And so do you this morning. So many of you, I don't know. You have a spiritual need that the things of the world can't satisfy. You see, Christ is using the picture of giving the literal bread to them to eat in their physical body. And the next day he's saying, men and women, there's something far, far more important than physical food. I remember, by the way, years ago, oh, it must be well over 20 to 30 years ago, traveling to church on the Sunday morning. I had the radio on, and a certain Church of Iron bishop actually said this, preaching on the 5,000, the feeding. He said, whether the little boy taking his lunch caused everyone to realize they'd been greedy, and so they took out their lunches too, or whether God, or whether Christ did a conjuring trick, it's not important. The lesson is that we ought to care for the hungry in the world. What blasphemy. It's a miracle. But this story, and by the way, we are to care for those who are literally dying through lack of food. Of course we are. There are many verses in the Bible about that. But this is not recorded in the Bible for that reason. Because later on in the book, in John 20, John said these miracles, 7 of them are recorded. Why? That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. This story, John recorded it so that this morning, sitting in Ballymoney Church, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, when you realize that Jesus Christ, he's the great creator, who can take those small loaves and multiply them, he can give you spiritual life, for that's what you need. Because what does it matter if you enjoy good food and good bread? And now you go to a supermarket, you're baffled. When I was a boy, your mother sent you for a loaf of bread. You just asked for a loaf of bread. You go in and you look at the supermarket now, and there's brown bread, white bread, sugar-free bread, there's gluten-free bread, there's compromisers bread. Did you ever see it? I call it compromiser bread, 50-50. You never saw that loaf? You wouldn't know what to get for a loaf of bread now. But listen, what does it matter if you have the best bread and you have the best food and you live in a nice house and you drive a lovely car, and if you have all those, Lord bless you, that's good, enjoy them. But what does it matter if you get sick and you go to a good doctor and a lovely hospital and you die and you're buried in a beautiful coffin and a lovely graveyard and you waken up in hell? What does it matter? What does it matter about physical things? Eternal is the important. And the Lord is saying here to that crowd and to us this morning, he's the bread of life. Spiritual life. And just as those people needed a miracle from the Lord to supply their physical food, men and women, we need a spiritual miracle from Christ. We need him. You need a miracle. A couple of months ago, I was in one of our certain churches where I'd been minister some years ago, and a young fellow came, I'm talking over 20 years ago when this event happened, but he came over, was chatting to him, and he brought it up to me. He said, Mr. Johnson, remember the night I got saved? I said, I do. You know what happened after the meeting? He came to see me in the minister's room, and I said to him, are you saved? Round about early 20s. And he said this, and that's why I'll never forget it. He said, Mr. Johnson, everyone thinks I am. And I've made professions. Good young lad. Came to all the meetings, youth fellowship, everything. He said, but recently I've come to realize I do not have a personal relationship with Christ. Never truly been saved. And then he said this, Mr. Johnson, I've realized I need the Lord to do a miracle in my life. Yeah, that thrilled me. I've never forgotten that. He realized salvation is more than simply us making a decision or a commitment or a promise. It's a work, a miraculous work. What did I tell him? Join the free church? Turn over a new... No, I said, well, let's just bow and you ask him now to do that miracle in your life. Thank God that feeding of the 5,000 is recorded in the Bible primarily to teach us that you need Christ as your Savior, but also for the teach the disciples, the people and their need. But look at the provision for the need. Christ said, I am the bread of life. He's the bread. He's the bread. He's heaven's bread for our spiritual need. Oh, I don't start reading the verses, but you know what Christ said? I'm the true bread. I'm the living bread. I'm the bread from heaven. Your fathers had manna in the wilderness. He said, I'm the true manna. Jesus Christ is heaven's bread for your need. He's the manna. You know that story in the Old Testament, don't you? It's a wonderful illustration of Christ. We were saying last night at the meeting that all the Bible is about Christ, the manna that came from heaven. It came in the dark. Nobody knew it had come. In the morning they saw it, associated with the glory of God. Christ was born, if you like, in the night when few people realized the glory of God coming into this earth. My, it was white, his purity. It was round, his perfection. It tasted like honey wafers. Oh, the pleasantness of Christ. It was the oil upon it. Oh, the power of Christ. I'm saying that manna bread in the Old Testament is a symbol of Christ. But the people did not just pick up the manna from the ground and eat it. It's bread. They had to grind it in the mill. Had to be ground. It had to be bruised. And then it was baked in the oven. That's how you make bread, ladies, isn't it? Baked in the oven. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ this morning is the bread of life to needy sinners. Why? Because he's the corn of wheat. And he was bruised for our iniquities. And he was, if you like, put it this way, baked in the oven of God's wrath. What do I mean? I deserve eternal fire. I deserve the wrath of God. Because God is holy. Oh yes, he's good. He's gracious. He's loving. He's righteous. But because he is so good and pure, as a righteous judge, my sin deserves the fire of his wrath. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the bread of life. To be bread of life for my need, he went into the fire at Calvary. And he endured the fire that ought to have been mine. And he's bread today. The Lord Jesus Christ is the bread of life. Ah, but how do you partake of the bread? Look at verse 35 again. You have the people's need, hunger, it says. You have the provision for the need. I am the bread of life, Christ. Ah, but it says here, he that cometh and believeth. That's how you receive Christ into your life. You come, you believe, you receive. You see, the day before, the disciples had passed down the rows with the baskets. Basket of bread. We imagine you're in somebody's house and they pass the plate of sandwiches. They say, have a piece. And what I'm saying is, it's attainable. It was suitable for their need. It was available. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the one you need. And he's available. And you can have him. If you will come and believe. You know, this is a wonderful picture. Even the very youngest child here with understanding this morning. Isn't it wonderful, the simplicity of the gospel? Oh, it's the mystery of God's wisdom that devised the plan of redemption. But we all know what it is to put our hand out and take a sandwich. We all know what it is. You put your hand out, you take it. And what the Savior is saying in this passage is, except ye eat of me, that's what he goes into. You read it when you go home. You eat of me, you take of me. What does he mean? There's the bread on the plate, or the disciples offering the loaves the day before. You put out your hand, you take it. You eat it, it becomes part of you. Oh, to know Christ as Savior, you must come into a union with him. You need to take him, to rely upon him, to trust him, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Have you that experience? Have you taken him into union with yourself? Have you really trusted him? By the way, just let me take a quick moment on this. If you look down to verse 53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now, you're probably aware the Roman Catholic Church twists that verse to mean the Mass. There was a program on a few years ago, I recorded it to watch it, of West Belfast, of young boys and girls going to their first communion. And it showed you the teacher in the class, and I've written down here what she said. She said to the boys and girls, now, this week you will take Jesus into your body for the first time. And when the priest says the words, this is my body, quote, now, boys and girls, it's hard to believe. But when the priest says those words, that bread is no longer bread, but becomes Jesus. And you will take Jesus into your body for the first time. And a little boy was interviewed and he said, oh, what did you do in your first communion? I took Jesus into my body and I got £465 of gifts from my friends and family. Isn't it tragic? No. You read the chapter, Christ said, the words that I speak unto you, the words, their spirit and their life. What does Christ mean eating his flesh? Just what I'd said earlier. Just as you take bread, it becomes you. You take Christ. Of course it's not a literal eating. It's not a literal eating. Comes to mind, my brother-in-law's mother back in Colombia, South America, Bogota, in the, must have been back in the 50s when two missionaries, one from Northern Ireland, was preaching, and my brother-in-law Juan trusted Christ and his brother, and the mother and father saw a difference in their lives. So his mother went along to hear the missionaries there in Bogota. And she heard them put on her black dress, her black veil, mantilla, came back to her husband and said, now, in the Spanish, of course, now I'm satisfied. She never went back to the Mass again. Trusted Christ. She realized salvation is taking Christ. Have you taken him this morning? You know, it was free. I'll never forget when my late mother was alive. I think she was 90 or 91 at the time. Christmas Eve, I said to her, would you like to exercise your legs? You know, she'd get on those, the tricycle, and the way she'd go. She would always go quick around the shop. But she'd broken her hip a year before. And of course, when you want to go walk, where do 90-year-old ladies want to walk? The shops. So we took her around a shop that was still open Christmas Eve, and we're walking around the shop, and all of a sudden over the speaker, because it's Christmas, all the bread is free. And now you should have seen the rush. I was nearly killed in the rush, but anyway, I wanted to get some pancakes, but they were all gone. Yes, we got some loaves, wife and I got some too, yes. And there was one, I'll never forget it, there was one man and wife, and they had literally like this. And they ran out and they come back for more. I mean, 20, 30 loaves out. And they're putting them into the back of the van and running. And everybody was watching. He said, you farmers have to get this. And he said, oh, it's for the cattle. So I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what he said, is to feed the cattle. Free bread. And yet today we offer Christ, freely offered in the gospel. And what's the response? Oh, I don't believe it. It's too good to be true. No, I'll not take it if I don't pay for it. Can you imagine giving the disciples giving out the bread and somebody that day saying, I don't want any? Oh, you'll get a crowd when you offer something physical, but spiritual. And that day when Christ preached that sermon, the people went away. But I'm simply saying to you, do you know Christ? Have you trusted him as your Savior? Notice here too, the partaking for their need. The partaking, they had to come and eat. That's what I mean, they had to come and eat. They had to get it. But I want to get back to this, the providers. The men give the food out. And that's what a missionary is. Give ye them to eat. Christ is the bread. Give ye them to eat. And it's our responsibility as a church and as individuals. What about our family members? Christian, what about the street in which you live? What about the people around Ballymoney? Further afield? Lift up your eyes and look in the world. You remember what the disciples said in Matthew? Lord, send them away. And it's not true sometimes as Christians, as we look at the needy people, Lord, send them away. They're just a problem. Don't want to know. Thousands in Kenya or Uganda or some other part of the world where the gospel has never been. Lord, it's not my problem. Somebody will go. Don't annoy me with it. Let somebody else do it. But here at the Missionary Council weekend, can you not hear the Lord Jesus Christ saying to every Christian, you give them. You feed them. You give out the bread of life. And of course, you do know that this book is called the Bread of Life as well, don't you? Bread, the Word of God. Sundar Singh, by the way, was an evangelist in India. On one occasion, he was giving out Gospel of John's on a train. No windows in the train as such, just openings. And a man asked for one, and he ripped it up. It's a true story. He ripped it up and threw it out the window. Well, that hole was there. Do you know, sometime later, Sundar Singh was preaching in that area, and he heard a strange conversion, met a man. This man said, I was walking beside the train track, and bits of paper floated out, and I picked a bit up, and it talked about, he is the bread of life. I am the bread of life. How could a person be bread? And it asked the people in his village, they said, oh, that's probably those Christians. And he found his way to a church and was saved, yes, through somebody throwing away a piece of paper of the Bible that they'd thrown away. Listen, there's power in this book. And it's the missionary's responsibility to get the word out. To get the word, whether through LTBS, whether through a printed tract, the word of mouth. We're to be bread servers. We're to get the bread of life to people. It's the bread. It's Christ has the power. But we're to go and give ye them to eat. But yet I wonder, do we say with no ability? We're not able to do it. Oh, this morning that we would hear that all things are possible. And I picture in my mind, can you see it? The people were told to sit down in rows. And I think of the disciples, the 12 of them, going up row by row. They were organized. They were organized. I'm glad for the Missionary Council and the Mission Board of our church, because we're a team. The disciples were working together. You go up this row. You go over here. And that's what the church in Ballymoney is. And that's what the Missionary Council and Mission Board is. We're to organize ourselves as part of a team to get the Word of God, to get the bread of life to needy souls. I could say much more, but I just want to finish with this. I want you to listen very, very carefully. It's a hymn that I used to sing when I lived in America in the 70s, involved in missionary work. It may be known to some of you here. But this is a hymn I have in a hymn book at home. Just listen carefully. And my question to you this morning is, if you're not saved, come to Christ, the bread of life. Don't reject him. Because if you do, you're as foolish as somebody goes home at the dinner and hands you a sandwich, oh, I'd love one, and you sit there with your arms folded. I thought you wanted it, oh, but what do? You reach out. Oh, this morning, reach out your hand of faith and take Christ. But secondly, if you're saved, can you not hear as I just read a couple of verses of this hymn? The Lord Jesus Christ saying to you and me this morning, Ballymoney, Free Presbyterian Church, denomination, individual believer, Christ is saying to you right now, give them to eat. You are to do it. But I'm not able. Christ will give you the ability. Listen. When Christ 5,000 fed, not one was omitted in the breaking of the bread. Today they die in heathen lands, they die in want and dread, for they have been omitted in the breaking of the bread. Long years have passed, and few have heard that Jesus Christ has bled, that they might feed on him who died to be that living bread. To gods of stone and wood they cry, yet they are never fed, for they have been omitted in the breaking of the bread. Great God, who give thine only Son, help us now, Spirit-led, to tell the story of thy love to those who ask for bread. Then gladly will we go or send till this blessed news is spread, and they have been included in the breaking of the bread. Lord, I would give them the bread of life. My heart cries out, O, here am I, ready thy will to do. Pray that God will use our missionaries to give the bread of life. Let's ask the Lord what he would have us to do to give the bread of life to people, to offer Christ. May God prosper our missionary work.